Welcome to Strike Up the Band
and Orchestra,
Motivating Student Musicians. This podcast is a series of discussions about motivation in the instrumental music program. The participants are Luke Jones, Matt McKeever, and Jennifer Mishra. The podcasts were recorded on the University of Missouri, St. Louis campus.
In this podcast, we interview Sandy Lundberg, a private piano teacher in Berthoud, Colorado. She is a regular contributor to the Music Teacher's Helper blog. On this blog, she discusses motivation and ways to help students succeed in music.
I guess we'll start with internal versus external motivation.
You know, I really struggle with that concept in general because I'm not sure they're as easily boxed up in one category as the other as people seem to think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when people cite internal motivation, what they mean is, well, you're not getting money or rewards or stickers or something. But then you look at the, you know, maybe wanting to please the teacher. Well, which category does that fall in?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you're not getting a sticker, but you're having a desire to please someone else. Well, that's meeting one of your needs, which is to be respected and liked, but yet it involves an external source. I mean, people feel very strongly on both sides of that issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people that don't think you should ever provide external motivation because you're crushing that internal motivation. My feeling is that I work with children, and if I waited for all the ones who came up with their own motivation, I would have very few.
Yeah.
And I think that you need to teach children the internal motivation. I just feel like I am inspiring that inspiration in them. And over time, my goal is that more internal side of it, but it takes a lot of external stuff to get them to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But they can get there. And the older they get, the more they're going to get there.
So what are some of the things, especially with the younger students, the students that are just starting? I mean, what are some basic things you do?
For one thing, I think my attitude goes a long way. You know, if I think this is fun, we're going to have fun together, and I convey that to them, I think my attitude towards the music is the first starting point. Choosing music is really important, and it's different for every child. And, you know, there's stereotypically, like, the boys want it to be loud and fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the girls might want it to be dreamy and beautiful. But that's not always true.
Mm-hmm.
And then even within a piece, I try and help them find the enjoyment within that piece, because sometimes, you know, there's music that you don't appreciate until you understand it better. I think it's important for them to have short-term goals and rewards, but I try and make sure they have, a you know, concrete goals to accomplish. In the beginning, the successes need to come more frequently. They have to have something they can do in a week or something they can do in 2 weeks. And then as they're older, it might take 6 months. Some things might take a year, but when you're six, it can take a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
The other thing that's super important to me with my students is that I develop a relationship with them. I think a relationship is so motivating. Every person in that ensemble needs to know that you know them, you know they're there, and you care about what they're doing. And it matters to you whether or not they show up, whether or not they've practiced, whether or not they've done what they need to do. Because even as adults and all through that, we're still trying to please the instructor to some point. Hopefully. We hope they're trying to please us because that's what makes the whole thing come together. I'd like to say, though, that I don't think we ever completely get to internal motivation for any of us, because it's not really how our world works. We kind of go to a job because we get paid. Although there's things we would do, you know, if we could make a living, you know, we would do them for free. But the rest of us living in the real world, it's going to be still some combination. I would say a lot of what I'm trying to do is pull out of them what it is they want. What is it? What are your hopes and dreams? What would you love to be able to do? You know, one of the things I've tried to do over the years with the field trips and things that I do is just exposure, exposure, exposure at a young level. So we've been to colleges and big churches and walked through the big pipe organs and we've had private harp concerts, and we've had private country and Western concerts. And we went to a whole musical show of Gershwin music, and, You know, in the end of it, some people had no idea they loved Gershwin and they just loved him. And some people said they hated Gershwin. It was developing that sense of their own musical tastes and exposure, taking kids out, exposing them to different things, going to the symphony, we've gone to operas, which is not every young child's first choice of entertainment. You know, it's easier to watch when you've studied the storyline coming up to it and you know something about the production and you have more respect for what you're watching, since a lot of times you're not watching it in English. So this last year we did a theme on world music. So every student had to pick a song from another country and they got to choose. And then they were supposed to study a little bit about that song, that culture, that culture's music. In our group lessons, we watched DVDs of different areas of the world, African drum music. I mean, just stuff that you wouldn't hear all the time. And all of that in its collectiveness comes back and adds to you sorting out what you love about music and what it does for you and what it means to you. And I also try and make their music as useful as I can. We go to local assisted living home that just loves to have us come. And I talk to them about, you know, how much these people enjoy their music. And they really don't care if you even make mistakes or anything. They're just so happy that you're there.
Well, you brought up a really good point, and that's performance as a motivation.
It's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, I would guess that you would try to schedule as many performances and public performances as you can, because that really motivates a lot of students.
It takes a lot of extra time, just different venues where anywhere you can get a crowd together. And performances can be all different types too. This coming year, I think I'm going to try more to do more collaborative type stuff and maybe involve the parents, where if a parent plays an instrument, you could a duet or an ensemble with the students, or just have it more participatory. My spring recital this year, I think it was Wendy Stevens, had a piece called Mob Bop. And I used it in the middle of my recital because, you know, piano recital. Everybody else's children.
Yeah.
So this song, I taught one of my new first-year students, and she did a great job. But it's kind of a rhythmic piece. And then the audience claps this rhythm to the beat the whole time while she's doing this whole...
Oh, very cool.
Jazzy piece.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice break to feel some audience participation.
Sure.
And what a self-esteem builder for her. She was the center of attention for the whole room, and in a good way, and having participation. So I think, you know, creativity is just kind of the limit at what you can do. But I love stuff where there's audience participation. I love going to concerts where people talk about their pieces before they play them, where it's more informal and they give me a little history lesson, and then I hear the piece. It's more meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Kids need to know that there's just, you know, more than just turning on the radio and having a background noise.
Yeah. There's more than Taylor Swift in the world. Yeah.
Although I have some Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Well, hey, why not?
Hey, it's all right.
Whatever it takes to motivate someone to stick with it. That's a big thing about this motivation, is because you don't want them to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, anybody who doesn't quit gets something out of it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And one senior I had this year, I had her for 13 years. I got her when she was 5 and had her till she was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't necessarily the most talented child in the world, but music will always be a part of her life. Mm-hmm. And it was a big part of her growing up. At whatever level you play, I think you should play well at that level. If you're 4 and you're playing Hot Cross Buns, you should play the best Hot Cross Buns that anybody's ever played. And if you're in college and
you're playing Hot Cross Buns,
play at a higher level, then you should play those songs at a high level.
Yeah.
The best that you can do at that level. Yeah. And even simple music is enjoyable when it's played well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want to take too much more of your time, but you mentioned... you just sort of hinted at this, and I thought it was such a cool idea, the concept of having the parents play with the students. Can you just give us a brief overview in your studio, how big a role parents play? Because we've done a lot of research over the course of this class, and we've found that parents can play such a huge role in helping motivate their child kind of over that initial hump of, you know, maybe the student not being interested and the parent can help them through that. So what have you found?
Oh, it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's just huge. It's the elephant in the room. It's enormous. Mm-hmm. Both ways, for influencing them for good and influencing them for bad. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I have awesome piano parents and I just love them all. But I'm always amazed sometimes just reading on the Facebook message boards and things. Well, teachers will talk about what parents have, how they've undermined the process mm-hmm. by being overly critical or just totally not valuing, like, just shut up. I can't stand that noise anymore. Right. Yeah. You know, especially younger children. They can't do this without parental support. I'm trying to develop a parent home practice incentive, something, I don't know what to call it yet, but a notebook. And I've been collecting stuff all summer to put together in this kit, in this notebook for parents at home to be like, how can I? Because I think parents need educated. They don't know what to do necessarily. So they need to know how important they are. They need to know more is expected of them than just paying for the lessons and having the kids show up on time. You know, everything from providing an instrument to a proper practice space within the home to providing, you know, the time and the reinforcement to be there and maybe some kind of reward system. But mostly it's like they need to value it. Mm-hmm. They need to see it as important. I think parents can relate when you say, you know, think about how you're at every baseball game, you're at every soccer game, you're sitting there, you're cheering, you're get that excited about music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you let the, you know, why should the child who plays soccer have more accolades than the child who plays piano? I mean, the whole family should go to the piano recital and mm-hmm. cheer this child on and take them out for ice cream afterwards, mm-hmm. make it special. But the things I'm trying to include in that kit are like, one of them is very specific, like a set of cards I found that where even a non-musical parent has a set of questions so they can get involved. So anything from as easy as, could you just point to me the highest note in that piece? Well, they don't have to be musical to ask that question. Mm-hmm. Or what's the hardest part for you? And tell me how you're working on that. You don't have to be musical to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. But just the act of getting involved and asking those questions motivates the child because somebody's interested, somebody's listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been Strike Up the Band
and Orchestra,
motivating student musicians. If you'd like to listen to more of our podcasts or would like information on this podcast, visit us at sutbpodcast.wordpress.com.